Well, just a reminder that AvWeb is gearing up for extensive coverage at AirVenture 2008 in Oshkosh. Be sure and log on to www.avweb.com to get our print, audio, and video coverage. Today's audio cast is brought to you by Kit Planes Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. And we're speaking today with Richard Midson of www.fullflapTV, which is all about encouraging more people to get involved in aviation in the United Kingdom. Richard, how are you?
I'm not bad at all. I'm looking outside my window at the moment looking for some sunshine, but it's still just about flyable out there. So yeah. Not bad at all, Mike.
Your website is fullflapTV. Tell us about that.
The whole idea was because when we were down airfields, we found that a lot of people were coming along and feeling a bit intimidated by aviation. You know, they were hearing about all the rules, they were hearing about all the exams, they were hearing about the fact you can't go in this airspace or you can't go in that airspace, and they were getting this really negative image. And we realized that to get more people in, we needed to, and I hate to use this word, but sell aviation more. So what we realized you needed to do, first of all, was talk about the fun, talk about the enjoyment of aviation, get them excited, and then you can start talking about the things they need to do to get really involved. But if you can't even get them to that stage, if all they do is turn up at the airfield, for example, and see a sign that says, keep out, right, what future have we got for GA? We need to sell it more. And that was the real inspiration.
Well, Richard, I know that you've flown in the UK and also in the US and California. And I know that you read AvWeb. So I was wondering if you could maybe do a comparison for us. Are you guys facing some of the same challenges that we are back here in America?
Very much so. I mean, gosh, it's difficult, isn't it? Not to get too miserable on this. But when you look at fuel prices and you consider the British fuel prices are probably double what guys are paying in the US at the moment. Mm-hmm. What was it? I'm trying to think, and I'm afraid on the top of my head, I'm useless at doing comparisons, but I think it was something like £1.73 British pounds for a litre of avgas here. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about? There's something like four times as much, I think, to a US gallon.
Yeah.
And that gives you an idea about just how expensive it's becoming. But also, I think what's interesting is the fact that people are taking on the light aircraft market. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the way it's exploded, the LSA market has exploded in the United States.
Sure.
And people now are saying, look, we can't fly an old gas-guzzling aircraft. We've got to get something more efficient. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the inspirations why we went off and did that piece with the Czech Aircraft Works Sport Cruiser.
Right.
Because clearly that is going to be the new way that GA is going to work here, because things are so expensive.
Right.
I suppose the only other thing that immediately strikes me is that, you know, having flown in the US as well, is that there's a lot more freedom in US flying. Mm-hmm. You know, you can fly near to an international airport. Now, if I took off from my base, which is Red Hill Airport, which is not far north of Gatwick, which is one of the international airports around London, if you don't know it, mm-hmm. if I went a little bit too far south, I mean, literally a couple of miles too far south, you know, I'd probably get, for starters, I'd probably get fighter jets coming after me, but I'd certainly lose my license.
Mm-hmm.
They're very strict, and there is absolutely no way, as a single-engine aircraft, I would get permission to cross their airspace or even go near it. So it is very much stricter like that. But that said, you know, flying is flying in a way, you know, when you actually get an aircraft, when you turn the switch, when you take off, we have a huge amount of similarities. And, you know, I say it's very expensive over here, but I would certainly recommend if US pilots want to come over here, you know, obviously we're delighted to give some help.
Sure.
Come across and see our beautiful scenery as well, because yeah. you guys have got some fantastic stuff. And, well, there's no question, you know, like me, Mike, is that the best way to see stuff like this is from the air.
There you go. Absolutely. So you guys, in order to promote GA there in the UK, have put on several, I guess you would call it, public events or publicity stunts. Trying to be delicate here.
Well, no. We haven't actually organized anything yet, but we've been involved with a few things. And, I mean, in terms of the features that we've done in the show, as I say, the whole point was to get across this fun element. You know, you've got so many people that are doing great stuff, like AvWeb doing brilliant news services. You've got magazines doing the technical side of things. And as I say, we just wanted to show the fun. So, you know, we had an aircraft review in there. We went across to the Czech Republic and went to the Czech Aircraft Works and talked about the Sport Cruiser, which is, you know, one of the fantastic new SSLSAs, try and say that if you've had a pint. So we went across there and did that. And then we also did a challenge race. Now, this is the kind of thing that's been done on TV before with cars and other forms of transport. But we thought, well, why not involve a GA plane against public transport? Mm-hmm. So off the south coast of England, we have this island called the Isle of Wight. And we thought, well, which is genuinely going to be quicker? To go by train, to go by ferry, and then get a bus on the Isle of Wight, or to get in a 172, do your flight planning, and then actually go down there. Mm-hmm. So we filmed this just really as a bit of a laugh and just to see how it would come out.
That's a great idea.
And, oh, it was so close in the end. You know, 1 minute we had Joe, who's a fellow presenter on the show, she was saying, oh, I've missed the ferry. So she lost 20 minutes. We had problems starting the aircraft.
Oh.
You know, so it was right down to the wire at the end of the piece. And, I mean, we're going to be showing the final result in the second show. But it was tremendously exciting and really good fun. And the point is, you can have fun and still do it safely. And that's exactly what we did. We planned it properly. We organized it properly. And we still had a great time.
Well, that's great. Now, the next event that is on tap is the Boeing 757 wheelchair pull.
Oh, it's an amazing event, Mike. I saw it came up after I went along to Aero Expo, which is one of the big GA events here in the UK. Mm-hmm. And the British Disabled Flying Association, a fantastic bunch of people, but one of the ways they generate interest is by going along to events like this and helping out. Mm-hmm. So you had some of these people who were actually at the main entrance, and they were handing out the tickets and selling brochures and stuff like this. And I saw on the website that they were going to do this 757 pull with wheelchairs. You know, straight away you're thinking to yourself, well, how are they honestly going to do this? Mm-hmm. And so they organized a practice the other day, just about a week ago. And I went along just to see how this would all go. And when you look at some of the figures, it's quite exciting when you make the comparison. You think about the 757, and this particular one that they had two Rolls-Royce RB211s, which is something like they kick out about 36,000 pounds of thrust. The weight of the aircraft is about 120,000 pounds. Hmm. And that's how much power it normally takes to move this aircraft. And here they had 20 wheelchairs.
Right.
You know,
right.
With people who had got spinal injuries, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and stuff like this. But they wanted to show that they could do it. They wanted to show that they will not be beaten like this. And I sat in one of these wheelchairs afterwards, and I couldn't even make it go in a straight line. And fantastic. So they lined them all up. They got three different teams on each of the three different sets of wheels. Mm-hmm. Tied them up with a rope. It sounds like I tied them up, but they put this rope underneath, which is like a climbing rope, and then attached it to each of the wheelchairs.
Right.
Got them all ready, and I was standing at the side with the camera crew as we were filming it, and you could see them limbering up. You know, you could see them sort of stretching their knuckles, shaking their arms, just like athletes. You know, mm-hmm. Started the Olympics or something like that.
Sure.
Getting ready to push the wheels. And then there was this sort of pause. And then one of the organizers just went, you know, pull! And you could see them all straining away, pushing at the wheels like this. Some of them, you can imagine the little front wheels on the front of the wheelchairs lifting off the ground as they're trying like crazy. We were watching the front set of wheels on the aircraft, and it just started to move but didn't go anywhere. Mm. And the organizers and all the supporters around the side, their families were just, come on, you can do it. And it just started to move and then stopped. So they were still pushing away, we are going to do this, and carried on the encouragement, and then it started to move again, and then they started to accelerate rather too quickly, and they had to put the brakes on. But that was enough to prove the point, and you can imagine the celebrations afterwards. This wasn't
Absolutely.
Even the record attempt.
Oh, this was great. What a wonderful idea, and pulling this off, and you got all this on film, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it was tremendously exciting. They reckon they needed about 30 people to actually get it moving.
These were manual wheelchairs or electric or
manual
a combination?
Manual wheelchairs. No cheating here. No petrol-driven wheelchairs.
Okay. Okay.
Or electric ones.
I got it.
So they got about 20 of them there, as I say. And they reckon, because when they actually do the final record attempt, which is coming up on the 6th of September, where they think they're going to have to do about 100 meters, then they're definitely going to need about 30 people. So they're still actually trying to rope in a few more people to do this. Because getting it moving was okay, but actually pulling it for 100 meters along the runway, That's incredibly inspirational. So they've got the actual record attempt, as I say, on the 6th of September, and they're doing it at Lasham, which is an airfield. It's a very big glider airfield, actually, which is sort of halfway across the UK in the southern part of the UK, and the Lasham Gliding Society are helping them organise it there. And they're hoping to do it in front of the global media, not surprisingly. There's already a lot of interest about this. And of course, the main aim is to raise funds.
Well, very good. Richard, we're going to keep tabs on the big Boeing 757 challenge and the other things that you guys are up to. Richard Midson with www.fullflap.tv or fullflap.tv over in the UK. Richard, thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you, Mike.
Don't forget to send us your suggestions to newstips@halfweb.com and be sure and look us up at Oshkosh. Today's report was brought to you by Kit Planes Magazine. You can learn more or subscribe now at www.kitplanesmagazine.com. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for Halfweb Audio. Thanks so much for listening.